Hey, and welcome to the FitPro Lead Gen podcast. It's proudly sponsored by LeadDeck, the all-in-one tool that helps you manage and automate the leads into your fitness business. Today, we have another massive guest interview for you. But before we do dive into this week's guest interview, be sure to come join us inside the Facebook group where you can watch these guest interviews live and ask your questions. Simply click the link in the description below to join the group. Anyway, enough of me talking. Let's dive into this week's guest interview. Hey guys, David here, and welcome to a brand new episode. This week we have Dave Wright, all the way from where? Because you've also got a big map behind you. You need to guess where you're from on the map.
I'm originally from Australia, but I live in the United Kingdom. So I have the map just to keep me on my toes. Whereabouts in the world we are.
No, that's no problem at all. Yeah, because usually when the people are based in UK, we try and do it in the office. So I have all the nice lights and background behind me. But obviously 6 p.m. now, so I'm at home doing this. So cool. OK, so obviously there might be many people who know who you are and they've heard of Mizo and everything already. But before we kind of dive into that, let's just learn a little bit more about Dave Wright. How did you get started in the fitness industry and kind of how have you got to where you are today?
Yeah, well, my journey started many, many years ago. I was born into the country in Australia, in the bush, never walked into a health club until I was 21 years of age. Reason being is because you could run outside, you could kick a footy, you could do your push-ups. We didn't need gyms, but you probably didn't. We didn't have any gyms near us anyway. Ironically, I own 7 of the gyms near my old country town. So we filled a gap there. But I grew up playing sport, all different types of sport, Aussie rules during the winter, tennis or cricket in the summer, basketball, the whole array of things that you did when you lived in the bush, so to speak. So, for university, I was always passionate about exercise, passionate about sport. I'm more passionate about what makes people tick. You know, what is it that gets people motivated? I did a recreation degree back in Australia, focusing on leadership and marketing. So my whole university days were, well, as a matter of fact, I can't remember much of my university days, but a lot of my university days were spent working with kids and motivating kids to be active and playing with kids and running summer camps. Did that in America. Ended up working in a health club in a place in Yorkshire called Harrogate many, many years ago. And that was my first foray into a health club. Obviously I used to play tennis, used to, teach a bit of coaching with tennis, swam, taught swimming and all this. But it wasn't until I got involved in the health club many, many years ago, in the mid-90s, and then got involved with a company called Creative Fitness Marketing, which does marketing for health clubs. And that's that there, which enabled me to travel around the world, travel around Australia and the UK and Ireland too, which was predominantly getting health members for health clubs. And then started building my own gyms as well, started buying gyms, ended up with about 11 odd gyms. And then, there's one side about getting members into gyms, but then it's a little, how do you keep members active at gyms? So there's one thing about getting it in the top end, but what do we do about this leaking bucket? And that's when back in, 2009, 2010, I had this epiphany, which was sort of like my zone, which was all about making movement measurable, staying connected, using a technology. We use a wearable device called, which is like a heart rate monitor, created a social network, a online logbook. This is back before the terms wearables was a topic. In the early days, back in the 2010, 2011, if we can cast our minds back that far, that was even before the word cloud was a thing. you know, you'd be speaking to clubs and talking about, you know, the data held in a cloud, and they would think that you're talking wizardry. But you know, the whole market, the importance of measuring and monitoring people kicked on. So I've had clubs for in both Australia and the UK. I've seen, you know, the industry from all you know, sides of the coin. I was a board director of UK Active back in late 2008, 2008 to 2012, and I'm now representing independent operators. And now I've joined back on the board late last year, early this year, to help representing physical activity outside the four walls, which is what my zone is all about, is helping people feel good about exercise, whether they work out inside the facility or outside, and creating that member engagement tool so that that people can keep on keeping on. Probably know whether I can't even remember what the question was.
No, it was how you got into the fitness industry. So if we go back then, pre-starting MyZone, and you had this issue of you were bringing clients in nice and easy and getting them sold up, and then you must have noticed there was a lifetime of this client and they just kept falling off the cliff.
Sure.
Have you tried many other things to try and keep them, or did it suddenly just come to you as in, this is what I need to do?
Yeah, so as we know, it costs seven times more money to get a new person into a club than to keep an existing one. So, you know, there was different times of what we call now gamification that we used to do. So, you know, like one of my clubs was in Grantham. What we used to do is we used to sort of like have a map across the Midlands, and you started at Skegness and ended up in, Liverpool, I think it was. So what you would do is every time you're in the club, if you ran 10 miles on the treadmill, we'd move a pin on the map, the physical map in our club, move it across. And if you cycled X amount, and so we did all this type of gamification. What we also did is if someone swiped their membership card at least 8 times in a month, we know that they're more engaged and they'll stay longer. So what we used to do is we used to sort of like incentivize people to exercise at least twice a week at the club. The average time globally that someone exercises is 0.8 of a time a week. So, you know, at the end of the day, when someone doesn't even get, you know, that one workout in a week on an average, if you can move that needle to 1 or 2 times per week, the impact on the lifetime value is enormous. And I know Dr. Paul Bedford has done some great studies on moving the needle from, you know, so many times per week. So that's what we used to do, Dave, back in the day and the other thing too, which can't be underestimated, is we used to do something really crazy in our clubs, and we still do. We talk to our members. We talk to our members and we'd sort of like, and membership management systems, we used to take notes on the members so that we can actually have something to talk about with our customers. So, you know, I could say to one of my staff, I can say, okay, these four people, tell me something about them that I didn't know unless I had an engaged conversation with them. So that way it was not about, oh, that's Mary, and she comes in here at 6 o'clock in the morning. No. Tell me something about Mary, and then take those notes. So that way people felt as if, and they do feel as if they belong to a part of a community and a connection. And it is, it's fun. I use as an example, I remembered popping into the gym once and, you know, they swipe their card. So you get their data, as in their membership, you know, their face and all this. And I remember popping into one of my gyms once and I'd seen Laura was on the treadmill, and I looked at her, the CRM, and went, okay, Laura, you know, Michelle made a note to say that Laura is traveling to South America and in September. And that's the goal that she wants to achieve. She wants to be able to hike. I was able to go up to Laura and say, "Hey, Laura, how are you?" I said, "Michelle told me that you're going to, you know, trek the Inca Trail. Is that right?" "Oh, yeah, I am." I I said, so what we probably need to do is we probably need to go on a bit of an incline because it's a bit heavy up there. Now Laura's banana turns the right way because she's sitting here going, gosh, this is they really care about what I'm doing. But then also the communication, the soft skills of being able to engage with that customer is immense. And that there is what's lost in a lot of health clubs today. We have people say to me, say, look, Dave, you know, with Miser, we collect more biometric data than probably any organization in the global fitness industry. You know, we know the calories they've burned, how many times they've worked out, inside, outside, whatever. However, I say all that is for nowt. You can't even say hello to someone and goodbye when they walk in and out the club. And it's not hard. The data's there. You've got the membership thing. You know, in the old days, you used to have to write it down on a card. And, you know, when you went to see a doctor or a dentist, you get this little card that was written out. Now we can use tech that can actually help engage a conversation. Writing down notes. And when you write things down, then your team, as long as it's not too personal. But what we have to do as an industry, in my humble opinion, we have to really understand the reason why someone is there joining the club. And that there, if we understand why, you know, why they're actually exercising, what makes it tick, and it varies with every single person. It varies in every single person. So, you know, and what we do with Creative Fitness Marketing, what we do in regards to the gyms when we, before we show someone around, what we have to do is we have to do four things that we have to, well, five things really. We have to, before we can help them, H-E-L-P, we have to find out how we can help them. And you know, I came up with a sort of like an acronym called H, how did you hear about us? How did you hear about the club? E, what's your experience been? L, tell me about your lifestyle. P, what's the problem? So, you know, before you even show someone around your club, you know, A, how did you hear about us? You know, my wife's a member. Bang, great, you've got more information there. Or I used to be a member or whatever. E, what's your experience? Well, I'm a qualified fitness instructor and I just want someone to train during my off hours. Okay, well, I'm not going to show you this is a treadmill and this is a shoulder press, right? L, what's your lifestyle? My lifestyle is I do shift work or I do work in the afternoon so I can come in the office. And then P, what's the real problem? Why you want to be here today? Well, I want to lose weight for, you know, my daughter's wedding. And then you sit there and go, you know, why you want to do it and how important is it? Why do you really want to do it? Well, because I really want to fit into my wedding dress or my mother-in-law's dress or that would be another story for another time. But at the end of the day, you know, getting that information and that information is powerful, that is important. So when we look at the fitness industry, when we look at the benefit it means for people at clubs, the more information that we have, the more that we can actually engage with someone beforehand. So that's what we used to do, David, to sort of like swing it back to your question there, is that we used to sort of like do everything that we can do to try and engage with our, so that they felt like they were part of our family. And that there is the real key. Because the one thing that we used to say, is, look, you know, how would you treat your, and this is quite ironic, but back in, you know, 2000s and all this, when I used to, you know, talk about, you know, retention for health clubs, the one thing I'd say is just imagine your gym closed for 6 months. I mean, it's quite ironic now, but how would you, and therefore all your leads, you know, you didn't have the benefit of FitPro lead gen and all your leads, you know, dried up. And so you weren't going to have any more people into the club for the next 6 months. You know, how would you treat your existing members? How would you treat them? Would you, you know, everyone is on all that new stuff, but how do you treat your existing people? And that's the one thing. I mean, and then obviously that did happen when it came to COVID. And those clubs that really struggled and the really struggled to bounce back are the ones that didn't have a connection with their customers. That's ones that didn't have a connection with their members. That's when those members went, do you know what? They don't care about us. I don't care about them. It is a reciprocal relationship. So do you know what? We're closed. I'm not too sure whether I'm going to go back again. But those gyms that had the deeper engagement, those clubs that had the deeper connection, and they felt like a family, they're the ones that bounce right back. So that's what we used to do, David, is to, you know, to do everything we could to get as much information out of our members, to truly understand them, so that way we could help them properly.
I think then it's more of a why you're doing it and why you've set this fitness business up, rather than what can I get out of the fitness business for myself. And that's what, like you say, will make the clients be interested, want to stay, want to keep turning up, because you're doing it for the right reasons.
Yeah, I think, you know, for any fitness business, it has to be for the right reason. I mean, look, let's be brutally honest. What a wonderful industry it is. It is, you know, and I love it so much, the fact that when someone walks into one of my gyms, I don't care if they're a doctor, dentist, lawyer, teacher, whatever, they leave their corporate hat at the door. And this, no matter where you are around the world, you know, they leave their hat at the door. When they come in here, they've got their heartbeats, they've got, you know, the same challenges around the world. And at the end of the day, you know, you're there to help them, whether it's get in shape, feel better about themselves, or whatever it is. And that's the wonderful thing about our industry. And if we, you know, there was an old saying, I'm sure you've probably heard it, from a guy called Zig Ziglar, who was an absolute tremendous American sort of like sales guru. And he has a great saying, is that you can have anything you want in this world if you just help enough people get what they want. So you can have anything you want in this world if you just help enough people get what they want. And those gyms that help get their members in great shape, the byproduct of that is that they have people that pay more, stay more, and they make more money. So they're more profitable. And that there is what all club, you know, if you start with the money first and foremost, you're missing the trick. If you really hone in, the money should be a byproduct of this wonderful industry that we are in. And if you can focus first and foremost on helping members get results, and helping people achieve what they've set out for, that, you know, the byproduct of that is you make more money. Now, there's nothing wrong with making money in your health club, none whatsoever, or your fitness business. Do you know what I mean? At the end of the day, you've got to be profitable so that you can continue to pay your rent, pay your staff, and continue to offer services, reinvesting in the club. But what you've got to do is you've got to sit the customer first and foremost. And if we can, as an industry, focus on helping our customers first and being the center of what we're there to do, then, you know, the byproduct is that we'll be successful and we'll grow the pie. We'll grow the pie for everyone. And that's the big thing. What we do when we show someone around our clubs from a sales and marketing perspective with Creative Fitness Marketing, if someone, and I say this to all our staff globally, if someone comes into the club and they've never been to a gym before, and after spending 15 to 20 minutes talking to one of the consultants, and you show them around the club, you understand their needs and all this, and you've motivated them to go and do something, whether it's to, you know, do sport, join another club, or exercise, or do something that's going to change their life. If you've motivated them to do it, whether they've joined the club or not, you've achieved your role. So it doesn't matter about, if you go from that side, is that, of course, if you join the club and you've got the professional staff, you're going to more likely get results and all this. However, if you, by someone coming around and you've motivated them to change their life, stop smoking, stop whatever it is, then do you know what? You've changed their lives, and you should just pat yourself on the back and say, great. Brilliant. I've literally chained one person there. Great. Let's move on to the next person and see how we can help. And if we go from that mindset, you know, the industry is going to continue to thrive and grow.
Nice. Okay. So let's go back to these retention tools. So obviously the best retention tool possible is to chat with the clients, which you've said, and we all should know that. But then you said about one, if they run 10 miles, you move their pin and stuff. What has been one retention tool that you tried and it just flopped? It just you thought, this is a great idea. Everyone's going to love this and be on board, but it just sank.
I mean, interestingly, one of the things that we do is if someone stays 12 months, then what we would do is we tried this for a while, we would give them another month. Okay. So we effectively say, if you train 12 months, we'll give you another month at the end. Okay. The drawback with that type of retention is that it's too delayed. People want things now. And that's the real key is that delayed gratification they're almost forgotten about. Now, does it motivate them, or would it, so that's something to answer your question. And what's the solution? It's one thing that, is there something there that could be used? Absolutely. Have I thought of what that is yet? No, I haven't. But it certainly is something that we tried. To your question there, David, that I don't think had the best impact that I would have that I would have thought.
Nice. Okay. So if we stay with retention, what are your thoughts around gifts and cards in the post and little bits as they're going through their months with you? More like like gifts and stuff, something just a bit different.
Yeah, so retention gifts are important. I mean, what we do with MyZone is we have a status. So when you achieve 1 month of exercising for, the World Health Guidelines, you move from zero to iron status. When you go from up to 3 months, you move to bronze status, 6 months silver, 12 months gold status, platinum, the whole lot for about 14 years, actually, Hall of Fame and beyond. So what we do is once someone is it's like British Airways miles. So, if you've got gold status, you don't want to drop down a status. And that's why you try and do everything you can to maintain the actual the flight. So, to stay in whatever your status is. So when clubs have baked that in to, okay, once you've achieved 3 months, what can you do? Giving someone a T-shirt or a water bottle or whatever, when they've achieved a certain consistency at the club, I think is absolutely, they feel as if they've earned it, not just bought it. And that's the real big key. Is that if you are going to, prizes and all this for retention is a great thing. It really is. And when you put it into perspective of, the cost per acquisition that clubs currently run at and what that is, you'd sort of like sit there and go, yeah, it is seven times more expensive to get a new one than keep an existing one. So why don't you make it, only four times and then, and then throw in some more prizes as rewards for people for loyalty.
So but would
the,
you say
the loyalty? Sorry, the loyal. Sorry, David. The loyalty thing is there is when someone achieves 3 months with you, or 12 months with you, then what you could do is you could literally sit there and go, okay, when you're a silver member or a gold member, you get 20% off on the coffee bar. So you get 20% off. So you're getting your money back just because you've been there for a longer period of time. So that, those type of things work really well.
Nice. So just thinking then, so you could do the retention period. So they've been with you for 6 months, but they might have only been 10 times. But you might also have a second board where if you've done 100 sessions, then you achieve this level of, like you say, discounts on clothing or supplements or something. And so you have two. Length of stay and a number of sessions completed or something.
Yeah, so there's multiple game mechanics that you can apply. So there's different types of volume of training. You get a certain badge, so to speak, a consistency of training, you get another kind of badge, you know, so you've got, you know, and there's different things that motivate different people. So, and there's different challenges, but absolutely. So, you know, I'm not necessarily a big fan of massive motivation for high volume training, because, you know, you're always going to sometimes, you know, in our world, because we're measuring every time they exercise, someone might be able to spend 8 hours on a bike of a weekend and go and do 100 miles or 150 miles. But other people don't have that same luxury of time. So you don't want them to feel, you know, rejected or sort of like despondent in regards to that.
Yeah, that was one of the things, because we had my zone in the gym before we sold it back in January, and the guys that went out on their bikes on a Saturday or Sunday, they'd come in Monday and they'd have so many points and everything. Everyone's just like, oh, how do you even keep up with them? So what we would do is we'd basically say, oh, I can't think, was it like 2,000 my zone points? It's been a while since I did it back in the gym, but it was like 2,000 my point zone points. Once you get that, you're entered into the competition.
That's right.
So it was fair to everybody to be able to qualify for it, yeah.
So it's funny that you say that. So what we do for all our staff globally, and we've got offices in 8 different cities around the world, but we basically say, for our employee benefits, we sit there and say, look, I can't force you to exercise. I do know if you exercise, you're going to have more energy, more present, less absent, and all this. So if you achieve the world guidelines this week, I'll give you an hour off next week. And, you know, if you do an hour next week, I'll give you an hour off the next week. So it works out that if someone achieves 2,000 MEPs in a month, what they do is they get half a day off next month. So it perpetuates continuous physical activity. And then, you know, what we also do is that every month that one of our staff achieves 2,000 MEPs, they go into a prize. And at the end of the year in December, before our Christmas party, we're going to live stream it around the world, and we're going to literally draw out 10 $500 cash prizes. And you only get a ticket if you've achieved it from 2,000 MEPs in a month. So it will be, if you're there for 12 months, if you achieve 12 months, you'll get 12 tickets. If you've only started halfway through the year and you get 6 tickets, you'll get 6 tickets. So the thing with prizes, Dave, you know, what's really important is the randomization of winning. In the, you know, it's like the, I suppose the lottery approach. The reason why the lottery works so well is because you've got a chance to win. Now, if you have a hurdle that someone needs to jump over before they can actually get into it, then you're basically sitting there going, okay, you've done at least 2,000 MEPs. Then you go into the raffle as exactly what you've said, and then we're going to pull out a winner. And that's what we used to do. With my internally in our staff, every month we used to pull out 12 prizes. It might be, okay, you just had to do 1300 MEPs, and then we would pull out a, you know, dinner for Nando's, or a pair of, you know, something from Adidas, or, you know, a 12 month Spotify subscription. And we would do that randomized. Then we've changed it to sit there and go, look, do 2,000 MEPs, I'll give you half a day off next week. So we're giving our staff an extra 6 days holiday in the year if they are physically active.
And that's the main one there. Like, you can have these prizes, but then if you didn't go back to the first point you'd said was communicate with your clients, then the prizes you might offer may be no good to them and they're not interested, but talk to them, learn what they like, and then put it up better.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think You know, and I think that without quoting too many gurus, you know, Tony Robbins is very famous for the success of your life is down to the success of your communication. So no matter what you do, whether it's prize draw, whether it's prizes, whether it's connecting with them, it's all down to communication. The ability to be able to communicate what you're doing with your customers and you know, get your message across.
So when I go in tomorrow, I don't think the Fit for and Lead Deck office team are going to be happy when I announce this to them and they've got to start exercising a little bit more now. Yeah.
Hey, we had a 95% increase from our internal staff. And we're talking tech people, finance people, you know, the idea of them to be able to have an extra 6 days holiday paid for because they're physically active and the chance for them to win up to $5,000 without having to do anything. And again, we sit there and say, and I, just for the avoidance of doubt, it doesn't include grey MEPs. So you can't can't sit there all day with it on. It's got to be, you know, I mean, we had some of our guys who were who do SHMEPs, which is effectively shower MEPs. So they finished their workout, they left their MyZone device on so they could get more shower MEPs. I'm like, I'll get rid of that idea.
Well, I just remember them now saying that they'd get changed at home, put it on, drive down to the gym, train, keep on, drive home. And like you say, they've got all these extra ones. Okay, so for people who are now confused about MEPs and SHMEPs and points and what is MyZone? Because people are probably wondering, like, what is going on in this conversation? Yeah.
Well, if people are wondering, they must be new into the health and fitness industry. Look, MyZone in a nutshell is a wearable device that measures the beat of your heart when you exercise. It's predominantly a heart rate monitor. And when you exercise, it creates if you're in a health club, you can actually have a telemetry display to see how much effort you put in when you exercise. We also have a free app where people can see their intensity, and it creates an online logbook and a social platform for people to feel good about exercise, no matter where you are. So you can connect with anyone around the world, and you know, everyone's got their own zone that they train at, you know, and the industry is famous for keeping fit people fitter. And the problem is if you've got, say, 20 people in a gym, you know, doing the same thing, let's just say 20 people went for a run around the gym for 20 minutes or whatever, and they did, you know, same pace, same distance, and they're roughly the same age, they're physiologically impossible for them to have the same workout. But with MyZone, we sit there and go, okay, just you focus on your own zone. So, you know, what's green for you might be green, you know, harder for someone else. And it works in 10% increments of your max heart rate working down from red zone, yellow zone, green, blue, and gray in 10% increments. Basically, the hotter the color, the harder you're working out. And so it's a visual display showing effort over ego.
Nice. Okay. So you've got MyZone, Creative Fitness Marketing, and Voyager Fitness, which means you have a lot of staff. Lot of staff means lots of headaches and all this other stuff for gyms and boot camps and studio owners now who are kind of going through troubles and issues with staff. What are some staffing advice and tips that you can give?
I think being able to be connected and showing that you care about your staff as much as you can, you know, I think, you know, that's the one thing that the drawback with it's a drawback what COVID has brought is this whole Zoom Teams, you know, working from home where it's very transactional. So what we try and do is we try and get our staff together at least once or twice a week. My role, you know, I suppose is, you know, I want to show them that I care about who they are as people. We have two very simple requests. One is don't be a dickhead, and two, don't take the piss. Simple as that. I want everyone to have fun whilst they're working with My Zone of Voyage or CFM. I want them to have fun. I want them to work hard, play hard, whatever. But just two things, you know, don't be a dickhead and don't take the piss. And, you know, if you do that, we're going to get on really fine. And, you know, I think it's very important to, I mean, we have a laugh with all our staff. I don't take things too seriously. I can still, you know, understand what they, what they're going through. You know, I've stepped on many of the rungs of the ladder that people are going through. But, you know, I don't think people don't care necessarily how much you pay them. I mean, that could be misconstrued, but more importantly, they probably care about that they're adding value. And that's the important thing. People want to know that they're adding value, that they're making a difference, and that they feel as if they're adding value. So, you know, if people feel connected at work, if people feel as if, you know, that they're appreciated for what they do, and a tap on the back, a specific thank you, Dave. I really like how when you guys sent through your confirmation of me being on this podcast, you sent a very simple meme with the episode of Met from Friends where they're jumping up and down going, that's awesome. You know, that there, simple as that, that made me feel good. I mean, that sounds really weird, but I liked it. I liked it, and I liked how it's, you know, small things like that. And people in no matter or any organization, if they feel as if they can feel connected with the company, to the values of the company, what the company's trying to do, to the organization, to the leadership team, you know, do they feel as if what they're doing has purpose and drive? Well, I tell you now, you know, our industry certainly has that. And, you know, if they feel like they're, you know, as a member of a health club, would want to feel as if they belong, and that they're a member, not a number. In the same way, staff, you know. So, you know, I think, you know, the ability, and whenever I see something good that is, you know, that something's done, I literally will be the first there to sort of like say, you know, hey Jose, I really liked how you greeted that customer at that moment in time, you know, or Gareth, I really like the engagement that you had with this customer. If you get any feedback from any of your customers or whatever, send that back. You know, you've got to reward, you know, great behavior and don't tolerate crap.
Okay. So two more questions, because I know you're a super busy person then. So if we're looking at a typical commercial gym that open 24 hours a day, cheapish memberships and stuff, how can they stand out from the other 20 in their town or the other pure gyms and super cheap gyms they have in area? How do they look and feel different to attract the audience?
Did you say a budget operator would? A 24-hour budget operator or a 20?
Just a typical commercial gym that offers gym membership, not really okay. More of a studio. How do they stand out from the crowd?
Yeah, look, I think they need to make sure that their customers have a frictionless experience. You know, when I mean frictionless, it's, you know, do you make it easy? I've just, you know, I was at a gym recently and I went through and joined. Every time I have to log on to the app, I have to put my login and details every single time. I'm going to fall out of love with doing things like that. So it's got to be frictionless. You know, and when I'm there and when I'm interacting with our customers, you've got to have focus more on communication skills and soft skills on how you can help your customers more so than anything else. If you can invest with your staff on communication skills, being able to read the situation. There are some people that don't necessarily like being, they don't necessarily like being bothered in gyms. But what you need to do, make sure that it's clean, it's safe, it's friendly. Those three things were the three most important things. Clean, safe. And when I mean safe, if someone is doing an exercise wrong, it's not safe. And your responsibility has to be, as an operator, to make sure that that exercise, if they're doing a lat pull down and they're snapping their neck, it's your responsibility to be able to make sure that they're training safely. So if you're clean, safe, and friendly, you're a step ahead of the majority of the Globo gyms out there. And it's not hard, you know, to make sure that those three things are, and we literally had it on the back of our staff key fobs: clean, safe, friendly. That's all that's the main focus. And if you can do that, you're an absolute step closer.
Okay, final question before I hand it over to you then. So you've gone from a guy living in the bush, which is right at the start, to now to 9,000 plus facilities with MyZone and over 2 million people in 92 different countries. So I would call this some serious growth. For somebody or as a gym owner now who maybe is going through a growth period, how do they stay on track? How do they maintain the growth, and how do they not get sidetracked or kind of get stuck?
Yeah. So I think that there's, often people say, oh, look, there's a gap in the market, you know, but all I say is, there a market in the gap? You know, so what you've got to do is you've got to sort of like look at how, you know, be an expert in your field. So be an expert in your field. And you know, I always say that is that if you want to be the, improve your business by 10%, you follow the best in the industry. If you want to build your business, improve your business by 110%, you follow the best in another industry. And this is an important thing for people to bear in mind. Take your blinkers off.
Yeah.
Take your blinkers off. Look around and, you know, never be complacent. There's one thing about being happy if you've had enormous growth, but there's also about, okay, that's fine, but always asking yourself a better question. What can we do more? What can we, and take your blinkers off and notice what some of the great organizations around the world are. What do you, what do they do? Look at ethnography, which is the study of people. Ethnography is what does the industry do? CrossFit got up to 9,000 sites. 9,000 sites, they got to someone paying 150 quid a month plus, and they sometimes don't even have toilets and showers, and it's not necessarily clean. Now you could sit back and go, well, why is that? What do they do? What do they do that a standard gym can't do? And so now I know that's within the industry, but look at other organizations. Look at successful businesses around the world, and that there, look at, and become an expert understanding what they do and how they do it. You know, if you there's one thing they say is that, if you pinch one person's idea, it's called plagiarism. But when you pinch everyone's idea, it's called research. Build your business on research. Go out there and literally say to your staff, come on, what does this e-commerce do well? What does this coffee shop do well? What does this retail outlet do well? What does this service provider do well? What do they do well and that what we do? You know, you might have heard me say that when we look at, I go back and I look at the 2012 Olympics, where it was the largest gathering of physical activity in its prowess concentrated in London ever, right? And the one thing that you know, so this is the epitome of physical activity. And then what happened and what did people remember about it? Well, what they remembered about it were the meters and greeters. The meter, you know, when people went back and said, you know, what was so good about London? It was the meters and greeters. 70,000 people trained up by McDonald's. McDonald's. Our industry didn't even deliver on meeting and greeting people. You know, so what we have to do is we have to look at, you know, system you and McDonald's as an example. I know we talk about the meters and greeters, but, you know, let's look, you know, everyone says if you want to get into a system, they are a systemized business. If a burger is not flipped at 30 seconds, a Big Mac burger is not flipped at 30 seconds, it's not a Big Mac burger, right? And this is these disciplines that we have to understand and say, what makes them so successful? That is how an operator, a constant growth. And this is what, you know, we have with Mice, and we've had enormous growth, you know, since we launched. And we're only scratching the surface. But, you know, A, I'm not complacent. B, I sort of like focus on what is going on outside the industry. What is it that where are people spending their money? What are people doing with their time? What are they? How are they spending, you know, their time and their money in concurrent? And why are they doing it? Why do people, you know, go to Starbucks and pay £4 for a coffee when you can boil the kettle at home and it costs you 10p? Why are they doing that? And they're going for the experience. Or are they going for the experience? Are they going for the coffee? Or are they going because they like to, you know, throw four quid on a coffee? You know, why are they doing that? You know, and, you know, right here, right now, everyone's sitting here going, do you know what? The price of living, the world's going to implode and gyms are going to close. Well, if that's the case, why are people spending £4 on a coffee as an example? Why are they spending what they're doing on iPhone apps? Why are they spending what they're doing, you know, I mean, at pubs and all this? Why is it that people are still getting the money? Why hasn't every single cinema closed their doors because everyone's got a TV at home? And these are the questions that I ask myself and the team on a weekly basis of sitting there going, okay, what have we learned? Take your blinkers off, you know, and there's a thing called your RAS, your reticular activating system. And that is a filter on your neurology. If, as an example, you start saying, if I'm going to sit there and go, okay, I want you to think about yellow, the color yellow. All of a sudden, you notice all the yellow behind my screen, right? Now, that is a filter on your neurology because you've asked, if you ever wanted to buy a Ford Mini, all of a sudden, you notice all the Ford Minis, okay? It's your RAS, your reticular activating system. But you can channel it in a positive way, asking yourself a better question. When you walk into the club or you walk around and go, okay, when I go out into this shopping center today, I'm going to learn something that's going to be beneficial for my business. Yeah. So I'm on the beam to go out there and look. You must do it from a lead generating situation, from a marketing side. What is getting people's attention from a digital marketing perspective that you can actually learn and apply? And that there is the real key.
The main one there, like you say, is when a lead comes in, if I walk into an ice cream shop now, does the server see me walk away and come back 20 minutes later, or do they serve me straight away? When a lead comes in, don't just leave it and come back 20 minutes later. And like you say, you see these things happen in other businesses, and sometimes you don't think about how beneficial that could be for your fitness business right here, right now.
Yeah. And how do you feel if you, how many times have we done it? We've walked into a shop and we know that the person could at least have acknowledged us and say, "Hi, I'm just with someone. I'll be with you in a minute," right? You know, and how many times have we gone there and we're going, okay, after 10 minutes, I'm going to walk out the door. You know, it's the same with lead gen, jumping on them, not jumping on it in an aggressive way, but acknowledging straight away. That's the important thing. People need, you know, need to feel that immediately.
Nice. Okay, the final one is over to you. I've asked you a load of different questions so far. Is there any particular question maybe I should have asked you, which you have some wisdom or some interesting fact that we should know about growing our fitness business?
Gosh, I think that if there was a question, I would sit there and say, as an industry, are we at capacity? You know, are we at saturation? And the answer is, as long as there's 20% of the population that aren't achieving, aren't exercising, then the market is enormous. You know, we could double, and think about this, we could double, triple the amount of health clubs there are in each of our towns. And if we get the messaging right, we still wouldn't be able to service them, because there would be still an undersupply and over demand, if we can educate policymakers and the general public to understand about the benefits of exercise. And there's very few things as important as someone's health. You know, there isn't. And that's the thing that we have to bear in mind. So as long as we can beat the drum to encourage, you know, more people to be more active more often, then the market will rise, and, you know, rising tides lifts all boats. That's the real key.
So I guess you're a big fan of what was it, Eat Out to Help Out campaign during the end of COVID. Do you remember that one?
What's that? Oh,
Eat Out. To Help Out.
There you go. Just ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. I mean, it's I mean, there's a very simple solution the government needs to do, is when someone exercises per month, their membership should be subsidized by the government. So, you know, they shouldn't have to pay P11D tax. It should be a tax deduction. And if we can do that, you know, to sit there and say, okay, it could be taken pre-tax, then all of a sudden it's, 50% cheaper. And then you tie it in with insurance companies and all that. You know, we can, there is so much more that we can do to get more people more active more often.
Dave, I appreciate your time today. For anybody interested in finding Dave, head over to LinkedIn and just search for Dave Wright, or just head over to My Zone, and you'll probably be able to find him there.
Yeah, perfect. Hey, thanks for the time, and, you know, thanks for sharing knowledge to the industry. You know, again, the more that we can help people in regards to raising the awareness, raising the standards of what we offer, then everyone's going to benefit. So what you know doing with podcasts and all this like this, you know, is great for the industry. So thanks for what you do as well, Dave.
No worries, Dave. We'll speak to you again soon. Thank you for coming on.
No worries.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us this week on another guest interview. Each and every Monday, we try and bring you a brand new guest interview to help you grow and scale your fitness business. As usual, if you haven't already subscribed to the channel, don't forget to subscribe below. And if you want to watch these interviews live and ask questions, then come and join us inside the Three Facebook group. I'll speak to you all next week. Cheers.